fights with passion and he inspires.
Are you ready for a war?
All right, welcome back to From A to Arbitration, the Monday edition. And today we're finally going to get into publication 552. And I think that it will be, as you could tell in the Memphis miniseries, the IMIP process, we can definitely use that to our advantage because that's management's responsibility, and they rarely ever do it. And so we're going to talk about publication 552 today, and that's going to go in line with what we're going to talk about as far as we're going after management this year, and I'm going to try to get as many removed as possible, right? First off, I talked about a podcast yesterday, Shop Talk, and two very intelligent individuals are going to be doing that. They've changed the name of it, and so it's going to be called On the Workroom Floor, On the Workroom Floor. And they said there's just too many podcasts talking about Shop Talk, and so they had to change the name. So when it comes on live, on air, when they start it, I will definitely let y'all know. That's one that y'all are going to need to pay attention to and listen to because it's two very intelligent individuals and on the workroom floor. And it's just them talking to each other about things that we deal with on the workroom floor, contract talk and stuff like that. So it'll be very good. And those two individuals are on Discord. And so, again, if you're not on Discord, get on from aidarbitration.com. And it will link have a link for Discord on there, all right? So do that. Great minds on Discord. Also, Reddit. A lot of great conversations going on Reddit. And if you get on from aidarbitration.com, it'll have a link to Reddit. And it's got several thousand on there on that page as well. So get on there. Some great conversations. Matter of fact, today they had two different strings going. One pro Corey and one anti Corey on my From A to Arbitration Reddit page. And the one anti Corey kind of got hostile. And so the mod, I don't have anything to do with that Reddit page. And so the mod texted me and said, "Hey, do you want me to delete it?" And I said, no, don't delete it. You know, I will never delete free speech. I mean, you say what you want to about me. I told you, you can never hurt my feelings. And so they kept it up there. And so everybody airing out their frustrations, which is a good thing. And I promote that, encourage that. I always want you to air out your frustrations, especially if it's with me. Like I said, I deliver mail every day. I'm nothing special. I have viewpoints that a lot of people don't agree with. I have opinions that a lot of people don't agree with. And that's what they were saying today. You know, besides his education, I don't agree with nothing he says, and that's fine. Like I said, I'm a Southern boy from Nashville, Tennessee. Not everybody's going to agree with me and my position, and that's wonderful. It'd be boring if everybody did. The one thing I will say is the people that were against me were talking about, you know, my inability to apologize for what I said. Understand this, the individual who reached out to me saying those things, they were not seeking an apology. They were seeking retribution. And anytime that happens, you will not be met with an apology. I will not read between the lines. And so this individual, when they said that I had called Renfro and Barner a gay slur, that is completely untrue. I don't care how you look at it. That is completely false. And so, first off, you came at me with a falsehood. Then you threatened me by saying, "I'm going to oust you as being a homophobic motherfucker." I'm not homophobic. I'll be a motherfucker, but I'm not homophobic. And so, and then they attacked my story about my son. And so it just shows you the class of people that we were dealing with right there. Anytime that will attack a story about my son being gay, I really don't have time for them anyway. I've dealt with that for many, many years. And so I really don't have time for that. I won't acknowledge that. But they weren't seeking an apology. Like I said, they were seeking retribution and based off of something that they had made up in their mind. And that will never, ever happen with me. I will not come with an apology. Now, if you want to reach out to me and say, "Hey, what you said I took it a certain way. We'll talk about that. We'll discuss it. And then if apology is warranted, I will give one. But to come at me with a falsehood and then a threat and then say, you didn't apologize, not going to do it. Not going to do it. And so if I lose listeners for that, that's okay. It won't be the first ones I've lost. I've lost numerous listeners because of the way I say things, because of my passion, because some people just don't agree with my points of view, whatever. It won't be the last people I've lost either. I want everybody to love everybody. Like I always say, we're all light blue. And I think I've made a point, like I said yesterday, of talking about that, that we're all in light blue. Whatever you are, whatever color you are, whatever sex you are, whatever gender you are, whatever you call yourself, we're all light blue. And at the end of the day, we're going to have to act like that. But yeah, if you come at me with retribution, you'll be met with that. Okay, I will not entertain that at all. But if you want to come at me sensible and say, hey, what you said there was to me was inappropriate, we'll talk about that. No doubt. Matter of fact, a lot of people have already done that. And we'll talk about it. I have no issue with that. I talk to people every day. On the second thing about the gentleman who said from D to dumbass, he reached out to me today. And we had a very good conversation. Over text. We had a very good conversation, and he assured me that that didn't take place, that he never said that. And matter of fact, I think he's going to be on the podcast. And so we'll work that out, and he can come on here. But he said that was never said. And so I had numerous people message me and said that it was said. And so I'll show you that I can apologize right here. Because if you didn't say it and I came at you that way, I do apologize. Truly. I would never want to say anything about somebody that wasn't true. Most of my stuff is fact-based, based off of something that I can produce and show. But when numerous people tell me that something was said, I'm going to take it that something was said. But if he comes at me and says, hey, I never said that, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. And so to you, sir. And he was very good. He took it well about Frodo and all this other stuff. He took it well. And so we were laughing, had a good conversation. And so, but anyway, he said it didn't happen. And so if it didn't happen, I apologize to you. And so we'll see. He says he wants to come on the podcast. We'll see if we can work that out. That'd be entertaining. All right. Next week, we're going to have salted peanuts. I've got a lot of stuff that people are sending me that I'm going to cover. My phone has about 1,000 screenshots where people have sent me stuff to talk about. So next week, we're going to talk about salted peanuts. I'm going to get some of that out of the way. Then the next week, I'm going to come back on this series of we're going after management. It's going to be numerous series on that, different things that we're going to use, how we're going to attack certain things, how we're going to use certain things against management. And so today we're going to get with publication 552. So let's get on it and get this out of the way, and hopefully it won't be too terribly long. I'm going to touch on it, on certain things in publication 552 to let you know management's responsibilities, okay? We're going to start out with a Postal Service's policy on workplace harassment. And the reason this is so important is because you might have a postmaster's thing about zero tolerance policy. You might have a district-wide zero tolerance policy that comes from the district manager, right? You've got ELM language that's Employee and Labor Relations Manual. You got that language as well. You got the joint statement that was written by President Sombrato and signed by all these different unions and management. And that's obviously the biggest thing we've got. But to me, the Postal Service's policy on workplace harassment is the second most important. And why is that? It's because this is the Postal Service's policy. The policy. When you talk about policy, this is the Postal Service's policy, right? So this covers the Postal Service. Everybody under that purview is covered under the Postal Service's policy on workplace harassment. And I talked about a few episodes ago about all these different things where it says the Postal Service is committed. Remember that? All of these different things. And when you lay that out in arbitration, it's a beautiful thing to say, look, here it says that the Postal Service is committed. This says that the Postal Service is committed. This says that the Postal Service is committed to what? That there'll be no tolerance of these things, of this behavior, of this action. And so when you say that there will be no tolerance of, that we're all committed, that there will be no tolerance of, and then I have several decisions against a certain manager, at what point does that no tolerance take place? And that's how we will address that in arbitration. At what point does that no tolerance take place for here in Nashville? Because obviously, with 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 decisions against this same manager, there is a tolerance of that. There is not a commitment, as these things say. There is no commitment to me of no tolerance because I got the same manager doing the same things over and over again. And so that's where we'll go with that. So you look at the Postal Service's policy on workplace harassment. In the very first sentence, the United States Postal Service is committed. Okay, so you have there, we talked about that the other day, you have there a commitment from the Postal Service in their Postal Service policy. On the second paragraph, prohibited activities, the last sentence of that top paragraph, the Postal Service is committed, there you go again, to providing its employees, that's me, that's you, a safe, productive, and inclusive workplace and will tolerate nothing less. So when we have several decisions, you have shown that you have violated this policy, the ELM, the joint statement, because you are tolerating these things. You've not done anything against this manager. I don't know if y'all remember in the Memphis miniseries when I was asking management's formal Step A representative, show the arbitrator anything y'all have done independently within the last year to correct the environment, the toxic working environment in Memphis. Anything y'all have done independently outside the grievance procedure, outside things that y'all are mandated to do, show the arbitrator that. And they couldn't do it because they will never police their own. And that was what I was saying in my closing argument. They will never address their own. It will always be the union having to carry that water. Always. They will never address their own. And so when we say the Postal Service is committed to providing its employees a safe, productive, and inclusive workplace and will tolerate nothing less, we will always use that against management because they do tolerate it, and we've seen it through these past decisions. But here we go when it goes to management's responsibility. At the end of the Postal Service's policy on workplace harassment, the end of the first page, it's a 2-page document. It says management's responsibility. And here's what it says. All managers and supervisors, let's stop right there. You know I'm big on words, and I like to use words and circle words and put emphasis on words. The very first word of the very first sentence says what? All. So that covers every manager and supervisor in this country at every single station, no matter if you've got one carrier or 150 carriers. When it says all, that incorporates every single manager and supervisor in this country. They're all responsible under the Postal Service policy on workplace harassment. All right, so when you're in arbitration, advocates, let's make sure that we're emphasizing those words. Formal step A's, when you have this Postal Service policy on workplace harassment, underline that, highlight that, okay, so that when you testify, like JB does, you can put that emphasis on there for me. You can do a closing argument for me when you're testifying. JB is very good at that. Matter of fact, Arbitrator Roberts, when he was in there, when I had to do my closing argument, he would ask me, do you still need to do a closing argument? Because JB would do that on the stand. He would highlight these things, and he would go over these things for me. And so as a formal Step A representative or informal Step A, if you're going to have this in your contentions, make sure that we emphasize, highlight these words, okay? All managers and supervisors are responsible for preventing harassment and inappropriate behavior that could lead to illegal harassment, and must, anytime you see must, always make sure that we circle that and underline it. Must. It doesn't say may. Y'all have heard me say this over and over again. It doesn't say might. It doesn't say should. It says must. Must respond promptly when they learn of any such conduct. So there's several words that you can highlight and underline, okay? Let's go over that again. All managers. So we're going to emphasize all. All managers and supervisors are responsible for preventing harassment and inappropriate behavior that could lead to illegal harassment, and must respond promptly when they learn of any such conduct. All right. Now, this is leading us into Publication 552. Any manager or supervisor who receives a complaint must see that a prompt and thorough investigation is conducted. And this is where we were getting management in Memphis, because they refused to do that. They refused to incorporate this Publication 552. They refused to incorporate this Postal Service policy on workplace harassment. The language in there, they refused to acknowledge that language, right? So when it says, any manager or supervisor who receives a complaint must see that a prompt and thorough investigation is completed. You saw the emails or heard the emails in that case from Memphis where it says, have you done anything within the last year as far as an IMIP? No. But yet you had all of these things. If y'all can remember when I was walking them through the case file where that manager was saying, get the fuck out of my station. Get the fuck off of here. What in the fuck are you still doing here? And I asked the formal A, was an IMIP initiated after that? No. You had the girl that wrote the letter to the postmaster. An official complaint. Was anything done there? No. You had my business agent reach out to the district manager and the HR manager saying something has to be done in Memphis. Was one done then? No. So they have violated this Postal Service policy on workplace harassment, the language that I just read to you, right? Any manager or supervisor who receives a complaint must see that a prompt and thorough investigation is completed. Investigations of all forms of harassment must be done in accordance with the initial management inquiry process, IMIP. And you've heard me say that a million times, IMIP. Initial management inquiry process, IMIP. Materials are available in Publication 552, Manager's Guide to Understanding, Investigating, and Preventing Harassment. When harassment or inappropriate conduct is found, managers must take prompt and effective corrective action. So there's a lot of musts in there that they must do, right? There's a lot of musts. All manager supervisors, any manager supervisor, right? So they're all incorporated in that one paragraph. You're going to tie in this Postal Service policy on workplace harassment. You're going to tie that into the Publication 552 through that language. In accordance with the initial management inquiry process, materials are available in Publication 552. So the Postal Service policy on workplace harassment, their biggest policy, is telling you where you can find these things, and it's in Publication 552. And that's where we're going to go, all right? So that's how you're going to tie that in. When you're in arbitration, when you're in formal A, when you're making your contentions, you'll put in the Postal Service policy on workplace harassment. That will be first. The joint statement will always be first, but you'll put this first, and then you'll copy the entire Publication 552 and put it right behind the Postal Service policy on workplace harassment. We're going to tie those two things together. There's nothing more important than the Postal Service policy, right? They use that against us all the time in discipline. Anytime we're being removed or disciplined or suspended or whatever, they'll say you're in violation of this policy. We're going to use their policy against them, right? We're going to use their very policy against them. I don't care whether they do an IMIP or not. If they do one, I'm still going to attack them because it's their process and they will always look after themselves. You'll rarely ever see an IMIP coming back and say they're guilty and they're going to discipline this supervisor or manager. You will never see that. So if they do one, we will just attack and saying, what was the findings of that? What did y'all ultimately do with that? Well, we found no fault. We'll use that against them. If they don't do it, then they're in violation of their own policy, right? they're in violation of their own policy. So either way, we're going to get them. So when you look at the Manager's Guide to Understanding, Investigating, and Preventing Harassment, publication 552, it's a rather lengthy publication, right? It's about 30, 40 pages, right? We're not going to read all that, but I am going to highlight some things that you'll want to bring out in arbitration. So let's go to the page one, and it says steps for managers to address workplace harassment. And make sure that you put this entire thing in the case file. The only thing we were missing in Memphis case was publication 552. It was referenced all over the place. Management referenced it. We referenced it. The Postal Service policy and workplace harassment references. So when I tried to put it in, management objected to it, saying that it's not in the file. And so I'm saying, hey, it's mentioned throughout the entire case file. Y'all mention it. We mention it. The IMIP process is mentioned. This is showing the IMIP process, and the arbitrator would not let me put it in. And he would only let me put in the one sentence. You remember that the formal A was trying to open it up, and he said, hey, what are you doing? The one sentence is all he would let me put in. So let's make sure that we put in the entire publication 552 when we're putting it in the case file, okay? And so when you look at steps for managers to address workplace harassment, number one is respond promptly, and we will always get them on that. And if you go to page two, it's going to break all these down for you, and I'll just go to page two. And this is what he let me put in the file, is this one sentence. But it says, overview of steps. When encountering harassment complaint or situation, your role as a manager is to stop, listen, inquire, and try to resolve the harassment complaint. Keep in mind that the employee is addressing a sensitive topic. One, respond promptly. Respond promptly to the complaint regardless of its form or content. And that's the sentence that he let me put in. Remember that you could receive a complaint with no prior warning. Any report of harassment is enough to start an inquiry, so whenever possible. So let me read that again, because this will be the most important thing. Because 99% of the time, they're not going to do an IMIP. If you've had a station where you've had instances over and over again, where you've alerted the supervisor about a certain manager, where you've alerted a manager about a certain supervisor, if you've written the postmaster about a supervisor manager, and nothing's been done, when you ask, let me see the results of the IMIP. Let me receive the results of the IMIP that's in accordance with publication 552, okay? When you do that and there's nothing there, they're in violation of this very first part. Respond promptly to the complaint regardless of its form or content. And that's what I was telling the management's formal step A. Would a grievance be a form of a complaint? It's the ultimate form of complaint. It's a grievance. Would a statement be a form of complaint? Well, absolutely it would. It's any form of form or content. Would the business agent's letter to a district manager be a form or content? Well, sure it would be. Sure it would be. I've got it in writing. Goes on, remember that you could receive a complaint with no prior warning. Any report of harassment is enough to start an inquiry. It didn't say most reports of harassment or some reports of harassment. It says any report of harassment is enough to start an inquiry. So whenever possible, one, set time aside to discuss concerns. When did that happen? Who did it and who did you discuss it with? Right? Two, assess the location of the conversation due to its sensitive nature. Be aware of your surroundings and the effect the environment can have on an individual's willingness to provide information. Three, briefly review the information, policies, and procedures surrounding the issue being discussed. Four, advise parties of confidentiality rights and their limitations. Discuss your responsibility in handling the complaint. Five, advise the alleging party that he or she has a right to report any inappropriate conduct without fear of retaliation and that you take harassment and allegations of harassment seriously. Two, obtain the information. Remember, your responsibility is to ensure that a fair, impartial, prompt, and thorough investigation of the alleged misconduct takes place. We will ask for that. It'll have to be in writing, and I'll show you that in a minute. We'll ask for that. In order to obtain the information, you need to begin the initial management inquiry process. You should. So here we go. I'll read that again. In order to obtain the information, you need to begin the initial management inquiry process, IMIP. You should. 1. Determine preliminary if the conduct being described would be considered harassment or inappropriate workplace behavior. 2. Assess the nature and scope of the problem in the workplace. 3. Determine whether there is a potential safety issue and if there is an immediate need to separate the parties involved or modify reporting relationships. 4. Inform the individual who reported the harassment of his or her employee assistance program, EAP options. Let's see if that happened. Right? When you say, I filed a complaint, did they make you aware of your EAP options? 5. Inform the alleging harassee that he or she has a right to file a complaint with an equal employment opportunity representative within 45 days of the inappropriate conduct. Did that happen? 6. Determine whether you can remedy the problem or whether a referral or involvement of a manager, supervisor, or manager, human resources for headquarters and headquarters field units, the next higher level manager, is warranted. 7. Determine whether formal documentation is warranted. All right, so here's 3. Begin the IMIP process. If an inquiry is warranted, begin IMIP process. Gather guideline forms provided in this publication. So all the forms you're going to need are in this publication, or they're going to need. And we can show those to the arbitrator that here's all these forms that where they're supposed to interview the harassee, the harasser, witnesses. None of this was done. Okay, so it says gather guideline forms provided in this publication. There is a separate form for each party involved, i.e. alleging harassee, alleged harasser, and witness, is what I just said. Conduct interviews with involved parties separately. Ask questions in an open-ended manner to allow for elaboration. Remain consistent throughout the process as follows. 1. Interview the alleging harassee and the alleged harasser. Arrange a meeting in an appropriate location. Advise of confidentiality rights and their limitations. Advise that the allegations in the IMIP are taken very seriously, and that's where you'll get them, right? If these things are taken very seriously, and these are things that I couldn't do in Memphis because we forgot to put it in the file. When you say interview the alleged harassee and the alleged harasser, arrange a meeting in an appropriate location, advise of confidentiality rights and their limitations, advise that the allegations and the IMIP are taken very seriously. Let me see the results of the IMIP. We didn't do one. How is it possible that you can say in your own publication that allegations and the IMIP are taken very seriously, yet you didn't do the first step? How is it possible that I have all these things saying that they're committed to me? There will be no tolerance of. The most basic thing you're required to do, the IMIP process, that's management's responsibility. They must do that, right? All managers and supervisors must do this. If they're telling you that your responsibility is, to me, that you must do these things, and here you say that the allegations in the IMIP are taken very seriously, how do I not have the very first step being taken? All of these things are very persuasive in arbitration. All of these things. Management will be in razor wire trying to get out of this IMIP, trying to get out of this publication 552. They will entangle themselves in razor wire trying to get away from it. Hell, in Memphis, they said we didn't do it. Of course, I didn't have this in there, and so I couldn't take them to all this, but we did have the Postal Service policy on workplace harassment. A, for the alleging harassee, establish that the person is comfortable having you handle the inquiry and discuss your responsibility in handling the complaint. Display candor and listen with an open mind. Do not form any judgment. B, for the alleged harasser, advise that this is initial inquiry to gather facts. Be fair and remain objective. Remember the concept of innocent until proven guilty. 2, gather information from both parties and take detailed notes of facts such as who, what, when, where, why, when type, time period, frequency, reaction, communication, impact, or adverse action. Listen to me. Where it says gather information from both parties and take detailed notes. Ask for those notes. I want to know where you got the notes. Then section 3, number 2, gather information from both parties and take detailed notes. I need a copy of those notes. We have a right to that under 17 and 31, right? So under number 3, begin IMIP process. Number 2, it says you take detailed notes. I need those notes, right? 3, request that a written statement be prepared. However, this is not a prerequisite to taking action. It is not a requirement if the alleging harassee refuses to document the incident. 4, advise that retaliation is illegal, will not be tolerated, and will be reported. 5, thank the alleging harassee, alleged harasser, and participating witnesses separately for their cooperation with the inquiry, and invite all parties involved to come back if they have more facts to provide. 6, inform both the alleging harassee and the alleged harasser that you will keep them informed during the process and establish a timeline to follow up. Are any of these things being done? Have any of y'all ever heard of this before? You know, has management ever come up to y'all saying, hey, there's been a complaint and we're in the middle of an IMIP process? No, because they never do it. 7, be sure to use this guideline to document the interview appropriately so you can be prepared to send your report to the manager, human resources, local or area office, for headquarters and headquarters field units, the next higher level manager. Maintain confidentiality. A, you must document all serious and recurring cases of alleged harassment and inappropriate action, including corrective actions taken. And we will request those. Right? If you have a history of unacceptable behavior, we will ask for any corrective action taken. Okay? Because that will show you how serious they are. They're going to give you a relevancy letter first. I've covered relevancy letters numerous times in my episodes. So go back and find those episodes about relevancy letter because you're going to get those if you ask for the management's EOPF file or any discipline that they've received. And you can just show this right here that in accordance with publication 552, it says that any corrective action is taken. So we're going to see if management has taken any corrective action against their own. And you should be able to get that if there is any. B, some complaints can be resolved simply between parties without a formal written record. C, you're not required to document the interview for a minor single incident. However, you should make a personal note of the incident and make sure that these confidential records are retained for further reference when necessary. When in doubt, document. 8, do not insist on collaboration or detailed evidence. While helpful, its absence should not deter you from taking action. 4, there's 6 of these, and I'm going to touch on a few things, and I'll be done. 4, evaluate information. Review notes and determine the next steps by doing the following. 1, assess the credibility of all information collected. Ensure that the facts are based on observation and evidence rather than conclusion or assumption. Stick to the facts. Consider whether you need to conduct further interviews to clarify inconsistencies or gather missing information. 3, determine whether the employee suffered a significant change in employment status due to the alleged harassment, e.g. demotion, denial, or discharge. 4, assess whether management knew or should have known about the harassment or inappropriate workplace behavior. Throughout the inquiry and resolution process, confer with the manager, human resources, in your local district or area office for headquarters and headquarters field units, the next higher level manager. And you can always ask for and request for information. You can always ask for any correspondence between the manager and HR manager, between the supervisor and HR manager dealing with this complaint. We can ask for those. You're not going to get them, but we can ask for them. And if we don't get any, then we can say, y'all never contacted manager of human resources like you're required to. Okay, but you can ask for those in your request for information. 5, determine corrective action in accordance with Postal Service policies, procedures, guidelines, rules, regulations, and collective bargaining agreements. Consult with your district or area labor relations office as applicable. Remember that consistency in the application of discipline is critical. Now, when you hear me say that, consult with your district or area labor relations office as applicable. If you remember in my closing in Memphis, and I started going down all the names that were in this case file, district manager, HR manager, and I kept saying nothing. The head nurse, nothing. Labor, the advocate that I was going against was sitting right there across from me. And I pointed at him, said his name, nothing. Every labor manager, every advocate in the district, nothing. Formal A's, nothing. And so when it states, consult with your district or area labor relations office, they're responsible as well, and I'm going to hold them responsible. Anybody that's listed in this, HR manager, I'm holding them responsible. Labor, I'm holding them responsible. Manager, supervisor, I'm holding them responsible. Because everybody is supposed to be involved with this, right? 6, in the event of possible criminal action, such as physical assault or stalking, notify the Postal Inspection Service and local law enforcement. Report the use of any electronic device, computer, or the internet to transmit threatening or harassing communications, indecent images, or materials to the Office of Inspector General, OIG. 5, plan of action. Develop a plan of action, consult with human resources, and take remedial action as appropriate. Be sure to convey that the Postal Service is committed to eliminating harassment and inappropriate workplace behavior. It is your responsibility to see that a fair, impartial, prompt, and thorough investigation of the alleged misconduct has taken place with regard to determinations. 1, if an inquiry is inconclusive or shows that harassment or inappropriate workplace behavior has not occurred, inform both the alleging harassee and the alleged harasser separately of the determination and report the reasons for the conclusion. And here's another out for us. Labor here will always tell me when I have, like I was dealing with a case in a small station in East Tennessee. I told the labor manager, look, I need an IMIP done in accordance with publication 552 because I have a young lady that's being targeted by management. There's some things being said. She audio taped them against their knowledge. They're talking about choking her and stuff like that. He said that didn't rise to the level. That's what he said. He said, you know, that didn't rise to the level of initiating an IMIP. That's what I said. I said, if an inquiry is inconclusive or shows that harassment, inappropriate workplace behavior has not occurred, inform both the alleging harassee and alleged harasser of the determination and report the reasons for the conclusion. And so they had not even started the process. He just wasn't going to do one. And so that will cover us there, okay? A, when reporting to the alleging harassee, acknowledge that the harassee did the right thing by reporting the incident and or cooperating with the inquiry. Emphasize that if another incident occurs, he or she should report it immediately. B, when reporting to alleged harasser, inform the harasser that nothing will be placed in his or her personal folder. 2, if an inquiry shows that harassment or inappropriate workplace behavior has occurred, A, take prompt action to end current harassment or improper conduct. Consult with a manager, human resources in your local district or area office for headquarters and headquarter field units, the next higher level manager, and your field counsel or labor relations office on how to consistently determine the appropriate remedy or disciplinary action. Resolve the problem and take remedial action if necessary. B, inform both the alleging harassee and alleging harasser separately of the determination of the IMIP inquiry, the reason for the conclusion, and the actions to be taken. C, when reporting to the harassee, acknowledge that the harassee did the right thing by coming forward and cooperating with the inquiry. Apologize to the employee on behalf of the organization, including upper management. Emphasize that if another incident occurs, he or she should report immediately. D, resolve the problem and take remedial action if necessary. When a remedy is determined, administer the chosen remedy appropriately. Make sure that discipline is consistent with the severity of the conduct and is executed consistently. Remedial actions may include discussion, remedial training, letter of warning, suspension, transfers, demotion, and/or discharge. Documentation is confidential. For a minor single incident, inform the harassee that the notes can be placed in the manager's personal folder for future reference. For a serious or recurring incident, inform the harassee that records will be kept for 4 years at the appropriate human resources office. 3. Consulting with each party separately. Assess whether all parties involved feel able to continue to work in the area. If not, consult with manager human resources at the local or area office to explore the possibilities available. 4. Record the date and subject matter for your notes. Fully document actions taken on the appropriate guideline forms on page 2631 and ensure that all IMIP's files are sent under confidential cover to your manager, human resources, at the applicable district or area office via certified mail. Service with return receipt promptly upon completion. The manager, human resources, will review the information to ensure that the inquiry is appropriately resolved. The files must be kept for 4 years after the management inquiry is completed. So we can go back 4 years, right? And that's what we can do. We'll say we want to know the results of any IMIP done within the last 4 years. Okay? 6, follow-up. Note, regardless of determination, in all cases, reiterate that retaliation against any person for reporting or providing information on potential harassment is illegal and will not be tolerated. Always follow up in the workplace to ensure that employees are aware of and follow the appropriate standards of conduct and monitor the workplace openly for harassment issues. Seriously consider if, 1, remedial training will address issue raised during the inquiry. 2. Periodic stand-up talks or staff meetings can be used as forums to reinforce your commitment and message of zero tolerance for harassment. So they put a little zero tolerance in there for you. And then those are the 6 things, the most important things. Then they will define harassment. One of the most important things in here, and this is what JB and I use, is the costs and effects of harassment. If you've got a manager, supervisor, that is one of these that's just impossible to work for, we've brought numerous grievances against them for their behavior, and they continue, just like you saw in Memphis. And they want to talk about the attendance problems. Remember when they was doing that? Well, look at their attendance. They brought all these statements forward. What's their attendance like? Do y'all remember when I said that? JB had the same thing happen here where they were talking about attendance and he used this to his benefit. And this is what it says, costs and effects of harassment. Harassment, including harassing behavior that may not be illegal under federal law, undermines morale in the workplace. And that's what all this is talking about. When we were down in Hattiesburg, one of the biggest things that Arbitrator August kept going back to was the morale of the station. She could sense it when she walked in, the morale of the station, right? And that's what we will say when we do these surveys. The morale of the station, what is it? I hate coming to work. I dread waking up and coming to work. It scares me coming to work. I'm stressed coming to work. All these things talk about morale, undermines the morale in the workplace. It undermines the morale of the individual being targeted, persons witnessing the harassment, and persons who hear about the harassment from the target and witnesses. Workplace harassment can affect a person's emotional and physical well-being, reputation, and physical safety. Targets of workplace harassment may experience stress, depression, low self-esteem, loss of sleep, and even post-traumatic stress disorder. Harassment can also impact the home environment of all those affected at work. And we will always ask for spouses to write statements. What is she like when she gets home? What is he like when he gets home? He's a completely different person now. Since this manager came in, he's a completely different person. He doesn't want to go out anymore. All he does is lay on the couch. He wants to go to bed. It's stressed him out. It's caused PTSD, loss of sleep. He has low self-esteem. She has depression now. She experiences stress. All these things are documented in the publication 552, where it says cost and effects of harassment. All of this is gold when we're going after a manager, when we're talking about our attendance, when we're talking about our work practices, our work habits. It goes on, these effects on individual employees also have a negative effect on productivity, like I was just saying. Product quality, job satisfaction, attendance, and employee retention in the workplace. So, here's what I'm going to do, and I'll keep reading and it'll help you out even more. If you have a station that has such a tyrant in there, and now they're going to start doing all these IIs for attendance, because I'm a bully, and I'm going to do that because, you know, you've missed 3 or 4 days in the last 3 months, and you've got several grievances against this manager, so they're going to retaliate, and they're going to start disciplining everybody on attendance, right, like they do. I'm going to use this publication 552. I'm going to use it. I'm going to use this section of it. These effects on individual employees also have a negative effect on productivity, product quality, job satisfaction, attendance, and employee retention in the workplace. The cost of illegal harassment can also include attorney fees, settlements, and court costs. Harassment can also affect workers' compensation costs. Listen to this. Research indicates that 1/3 to 1/2 of all stress-related illness is attributed to bullying in the workplace. Now, this is management's form. This is management's publication. This is not something we pulled up off the internet. This is management's publication that they're telling you in the Postal Service Policy on Workplace Harassment to go here. This is management's responsibility, publication 552. It's in the Postal Service Policy on Workplace Harassment. This is their guide. They know of this. And it's telling you, research indicates that 1/3 to 1/2 of all stress-related illness is attributable to bullying in the workplace. Even basic incivility has an effect on the workplace. For example, one study shows the following responses, so they're doing the study for you, of 775 people who are targets of incivility at work. Incivility include rudeness. Do y'all have that in your station? Rudeness? Insensitivity? Do you have that in your station by your manager or supervisor? Disrespect inflicted by another worker? The instigator? Do y'all have that? Here it is. Percentage affected. 28% of all workers lost work time avoiding the instigator. 53% lost work time worrying about the incident or future interactions. 37% believe that their commitment to the organization declined. 22% decreased their effort at work. 10% decreased the amount of time that they spent at work. 46% contemplated changing jobs to avoid the instigator. 12% actually changed jobs to avoid the instigator. This is their handbook. And when you show that to an arbitrator and you say, here's what they're targeting us with now, our attendance. And I go in there and I say, you know, why did you miss work here? Well, because I'm stressed. Because I have this supervisor that comes after us every day as a bully. And I'm stressed. Well, that's no excuse. Bullshit. Y'all's own publication says it's an excuse. That's what y'all said in here. Under cause and effects of harassment. Y'all have acknowledged that this type of management produces this type of work loss, right? So make sure that if y'all are dealing with that, and the carriers go in there and say, you know, why were you absent on this day? Just stress. Stress from the supervisor. Stress from this manager. And they're going to say in the letter of warning, whatever, your answers didn't justify bullshit. Your own publication said it did, right here. Y'all did the studies for me. Y'all did the studies for us. And then I'm going to put in that discipline all these past resolutions against this supervisor manager. I'm going to put in this discipline all these statements from all these surveys against the supervisor manager. I'm going to say, you're the reason that I'm not coming to work. And we'll see if we can get these motherfuckers gone. Harassing behavior is unprofessional. Postal service managers, postmasters, and supervisors are responsible for setting the parameters of appropriate behavior at work and for addressing inappropriate behavior by their employees. Successful managers, postmasters, and supervisors do not harass, bully, or speak to employees in a condescending or threatening manner. Now, any grievance that I send up, I don't care if it's the smallest grievance you've ever filed as far as mutual respect. It doesn't matter. If you got three or four statements saying that the manager is bullying, speaking in a condescending or threatening manner, harassing us, any grievance I'm putting in the Postal Service Policy and Workplace Harassment and this Publication 552, Costs and Effects of Harassment, which is taken out of Publication 552. It's telling you, successful managers, postmasters, and supervisors do not harass. Do y'all have that in your station? They do not bully. Do you have that in your station? Or speak to employees in a condescending. What about that? Do you have managers that speak to y'all in a condescending manner? Would you say that they're in violation of this? Publication 552? Or threatening manner. Successful managers, postmasters, and supervisors lead by example. They stop and correct harassing and inappropriate behavior by their employees. Never take harassment allegations lightly. The cost of harassment to our employees and our bottom line are costs the Postal Service cannot afford. That's damning language for us. Your role is management. As Postal Service management, you must avoid behavior that could be interpreted as harassment. Lead by example. Is your manager doing that? Is your supervisor doing that? Identify and stop workplace behavior that could constitute harassment. Respond promptly and appropriately to those who come forward with complaints of harassing conduct. And then it goes on about what is illegal harassment, what you must know about workplace harassment, hostile environment harassment, two types of illegal harassment. But it goes on and on. I'm not going to read all that because it's just defining things. Then it gives you the initial management inquiry process at a glance, what they must do. That's a very good chart for you. I'm not going to read it because I can't show you the chart. It gives you the your guidelines as far as the initial management inquiry process. It tells you that about them consulting with human resources. There's initial management inquiry process checklist in here. And it's the stuff that I just went over. And so we'll ask for that checklist, right? Then it has the interviews in here. Workplace harassment interview guidelines. Interview with the alleging harassee. It's got the name, title, job location. And then it says describe specifically the actions. And then it has a bunch of questions that they ask. All these things are in there. Interview with alleged harasser. We want all these things when we request it, right? We want these interviews. Same thing. And a lot of time, if this against the manager, we can catch them lying if we have past decisions against them. Because some of the questions is, has anyone ever made allegations this type against you before? They'll say no. And then we'll get them because we'll have past decisions. Have you ever been disciplined for improper conduct harassment? They'll probably say no. And if we can get where they've been disciplined in there, we'll show that they've been lying. Then this guy's interview with witnesses. And so that's Publication 552 in a nutshell, all right? Very important for us. I would use those things outside of the IMIP process like I was reading. But anytime we talk about the Postal Service policy and workplace harassment, it's very important because it is management's policy. It's the Postal Service's policy. It doesn't get any higher than that. And in that policy, it says management's responsibilities, where it says all, any, must. It refers them to the IMIP process that you can find in Publication 552. Get Publication 552 and read it. All right? It's their responsibility. Publication 552, talking about the IMIP process. All right? A lot of good stuff in there that we can use against management. They will never do it. And so we'll take that time in arbitration to go over those things. We'll highlight certain parts of that And we'll go over those things in arbitration and show them this is their commitment to us. This is how seriously they take their commitment to us, Mr. Arbitrator. Within the last year, they didn't do any of these things that they must do. All of them must do it. And not one single one of them took it upon themselves to do the right thing. And it's damning stuff. So you have the ELM, the JSOV, the Postal Service Policy on Workplace Harassment, District Zero Tolerance Policies, all these things saying that there's a commitment from them to us that there will be no tolerance of these things. Now you have the Postal Service Policy on Workplace Harassment directing them to the Publication 552. I just told you about Publication 552, the IMIP, and still nothing's being done. All of these things saying that there's a commitment from them to us that there will be no tolerance of these things. You have a Publication 552, their publication, things that they must do, their responsibility, the IMIP process. They didn't even start that. So what are we to do? What do we do now? They've shown time and time again they don't give a damn about my people. And I've said that before in arbitration. I've said it. Time and time again, they're going to show you that they didn't even go by their own guidelines. They just don't care. And we're going to get rid of some of these managers, I promise you, all right? So there's your Publication 552. I hope that helped you. It goes in line with all those things that we've been talking about. And so, not too long of an episode, about an hour. That's not too bad, right? So next Sunday, we'll get into salted peanuts, all right? There's a lot of stuff to cover, and we'll have fun with it again. Look, I love each and every one of you, man. I love each and every one of you. And I would never intentionally hurt any of you, okay? That's not who I am. I'm fighting for you, not against you. Not against you. If you have any issues with me, reach out to me. Reach out to me, all right? And let's talk about it. Like I said, I'm a city letter carrier, nothing more. Nothing more than that, trying to educate. I'm pissed off at my union right now because changes need to come and they won't come fast enough. We need a new regime in there that puts the letter carriers first again. That's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. And so, I'm pissed about it. And I talk about it on this podcast a lot more than I should. But like I've said a million times, it does me no good to do all these things and we get no support from our union. What good are you? What good are you? But change is coming. I promise you that change is coming. And then I won't have to rant as much when we have change. When we have people in place that put the letter carrier first, which is what it should have been happening the whole time, and it's not and it won't under this regime, this ticket is going to fall apart. Renfro's ticket, it will fall apart. He'll have to be putting people in places that have no business there, just like he has no business in his position. But people are going to be put in place that put the letter carrier first again and have a passion for the letter carrier. That's what I'm going to promise you. So I love each and every one of you. I really do. And I'll fight to the death for you. I really will. You got any problems with me or anything I say, reach out to me and let's talk about it. All right? Okay? All right. Y'all have a fantastic rest of the week. Be safe out there and I'll talk to y'all next Sunday.